This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Everything is phenomenal.
You sure?
Yes!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Hey.
Oh, baby, we're back.
Welcome to the official and practical Jokers podcast. My name is Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
James, we have a guest today?
Yeah, we've got a great guest. We've had him on the pod before. Big friend of the pod. It's Big Jay Oakerson,
ooh,
baby.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, guys. It's good to be here. That's talking cool. IJ.
Yeah, I haven't watched them since they were on TV, like when I watched them for the first time. So to revisit was crazy. I started texting the guys. I was like texting Murr, like, I can't believe you did this thing. And he was just like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you wouldn't show. If I were you, I would show people. Didn't you write all the songs for the episode where they were in the music store?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to play their thing. That's one of my favorites. We, as stand-up comics, we on improv so much. and on the bonfire, we were... I watched the trailer. We watched the trailer for Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
Yeah, yeah.
And really took just a hardcore on on the show without watching it at all.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then we threw and we go put it on right now on the show. I go, if it makes me chuckle, I'll take it all back. And then like it was like 2-3 minutes in, we were like, all right, they are good at it. I guess they're pretty good at it.
That's funny because stand-ups in general, just there is a lot of improvisation. That's just, I mean, generating, you know, your tags, and not only that, but like just crowd work, connecting with the crowd.
I was just going to say, and
you're like the king of that.
So good at crowd work. So that there's a lot of improv going on there.
No, I completely agree. I think I'm bitter because it's never been considered improv. I'm like, well, I think I do improv. I think I'm pretty good at improv. I'm like, well, that's not improv. What is it then? It's just crowd work, they say. So it's probably just sour grapes because I'm not considered a good improver.
I've seen Sal perform stand up a lot, and like, you know, he'll improvise a little bit, but you've seen him way more. Mm-hmm. Do you see Sal improvising much on stage, like in comparison, I guess, to other stand ups? Do you think he does it more or less, cuz he's a master improviser, but like, how has it influenced his stand up?
I have seen him go off the cuff on stage before, but if it is funny cuz I think he's like new-ish to stand up.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think he has like his like jokes and everything that he does. And, you know, he's just trying to get like that kind of comfort. It's probably gonna be a whole new comfort. It's same thing. Like if I've done improv games before, weirdly enough, when I started comedy in the all black circuit, those shows would have much more like loose situations where at the end of the show, they'd be like, all right, we're going to play a freeze tag, like those like improv games. And I would get super nervous for that. And I think if I went on today and they were like, let's do like an improv sketch, I would panic for some reason, because it's not out of my wheelhouse. So I think he sticks more to in the realm of stand-up, like doing the jokes. But me and him have gone on stage together a number of times also, where it's just like free form and going, and he's great at it.
He's great at that. Like, you know, you've been on the Joker's Cruise before. Like, so many of those shows are just literally sitting with microphones talking.
And, yeah.
And the two of you are really, really good at that kind of stuff. And he's always just been great. Like, I've also seen him on your show at or live shows at the Creek. And mm-hmm. I mean, what you put him through is, it's similar to Joker's, but it's like,
oh, yeah,
you guys turn the screws in a much different way. Like, you really know, because Sal's like the good guy, and you just push him into situations where he's got to say outlandish stuff.
It's funny, we try to count down how long on every Legion of Skanks episode, especially mm-hmm. when he's going to go, guys, I'm not going to be able to promote this.
I was just going to say, there was one Legion of Skanks episode where Lewis made him call his aunt, and he was saying terrible things, and he like could barely get through it. Like,
yeah. We said, like, that's some practical joke, Sal. We wrote all these terrible things from him saying he hated it.
It's funny, yeah.
Sal's great at also at failing in a really funny way.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of the more recent, sort of recent, I guess, one of the ones was a fake an argument on a cell phone in a cafe.
Yeah, I love mm-hmm. that one. Mm-hmm.
And then you have to get off the phone and convince the person that was I right to be that angry?
Oh, it's so funny.
And Sal's one is he makes like a real, he's almost crying on the phone and saying like, I can't believe you would do this to me. Like, I can't believe you would tell me this now, like not face to face. Like, I'll deal with you later. And he hangs up and he's just walking over to the guy. They just go, stamps went up in his ear. And you just see him, like, he'll start to laugh. And then he says it, stamps went up. Then he turns around, drinks water while he's laughing, spits it out, and then just never even turns around, just walks directly out of the place. He just never turns around, just accepting the loss is always so funny. Like, it's just bailing on it.
It's so great. Yeah, he got really into it. It was like his Oscar moment on the phone there. He's like, guys, this is what's going to get us the Emmy right here.
It's a really, I envy it and love it so much for that reason. I'm just like, man, it really is something. I've told Sal a zillion times too. It's like Jackass and Impractical Jokers are such, could put them on at any time and laugh. And it's because it's unjudgeable comedy. For a stand-up comic, it's completely unjudgeable because it's so out of my wheelhouse of what I would do. You know, you watch stand-up or sitcom or whatever, you know, situational comedy movies, whatever comedy movies, you go, ugh, this stinks for this reason. And you can kind of like pick it apart for the reasons of why. It's like, well, I mean, the choice I would have made here would have been to this, but there's nothing. I have nothing. I could, it's funny. I love it. And I can just sit back and just drink it in because I'm like, I wouldn't do any of these things.
There are a couple of shows like that. Like there are a couple of shows that like Jack, I'm so glad you brought up Jackass because I loved Jackass. I mean, so did the guys. And like also shows like Tom Green Show, or Nathan For You is more modern, but these shows were always really big for all of us to talk about in the, you know, like the, as producer, you know, and with the guys, because we wanted to know what it not to be like, not to bite off, you know, but also have some of the, you know, some of the nuances that make those shows great. Like, you know, the camaraderie of like Jackass or, you know, and the fact that they're all laughing through whatever they're doing. But then also, like, we always say things like, that's too Fear Factory, you know, like, or Fear Factor, Fear Factor.
Sorry. Too Fear Factor, too Jackass.
Yeah, too, we would always make sure, like, we were not ripping off, you know, even if sometimes there is a gross thing. It's not just gross for anyone. It has to be specifically gross for Sal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dentists, this is one of the biggest moments, I think, when we were filming this. It was one of the biggest moments that had ever happened. The one we're talking about specifically, the whole everyone's turn is so funny. But Sal putting that guy upside down, how do you not talk about that?
This is like, I love watching this with Sal because this is the highlight for me of anything Sal's done on Jokers is this.
Yeah.
Because he laughs so hard, he can't get through it.
It's so funny that they're all figuring out at once that this thing does that. Like, who would ever imagine that it would go completely vertical upside down?
Chair. Yeah.
And also so high.
Yes, yes. And it's edited perfectly. Like, there's a point where he has to obviously leave the room, but then the guy's like bib like goes above his face. Yeah. So he's wrestling to keep, and it just goes to that shot quick and then back to the guys in the BTS.
Yeah.
It's such the nature of like, you know, a passive personality that just deals with it and doesn't even, that guy didn't even question it for a second. Even when he has to hold his own bib down from going over his face, like you said,
it's incredible.
He just continues to stay there. Yeah. He doesn't question like, is this normal? I've been to the dentist in my life before. I've never been upside down.
I guess they're doing it now.
Like hanging a
fish. I kind of, my teeth has been kind of hurting. I guess I got to go upside down.
This must be modern.
This
modern
guy's really good. I might have to tip.
And Sal having to leave the room is just like, it's just amazing. That was a really funny day on set. Like we really like lost our mind. Right. It was the thing that afterward the guy, you know, we finished filming. And usually when we finish filming, the guy's like, okay, great. Like big day. Like we should. All right. And like, they go home. They were like, can we do more? Like they felt so good. They were like, I can't wait to film tomorrow. They were like, you know, puppies that just want to like hang out.
You know, when my girlfriend, Christine, when she worked on the show.
Yeah.
You know, she would say that to me. It was very interesting because I would be surprised, especially with something like the dentist where you show up for an appointment. I'm assuming that's like, you know, essentially how it works. It was people coming in for their actual appointments. And I know at the end, I'm sure it's just like, all right, that was a joke, but you're going to get your actual appointment.
Yeah.
But like just the idea of having to deal with like the crew having to deal with someone going, hey, that was a whole joke. And like, why? <I know. laughs> And she said she'd be surprised at me. People, there was like nothing even like terrible happened to it. It was just funny, but not like slowing down their day much at all. And they'd be like, I don't want to sign this thing. I don't want to be part. You know, it's crazy. I mean, people, like, they really do. So it's amazing the footage they're able to get and how ridiculous they make people look and put them in situations that they are still willing to go to.
I can't believe we got a dentist to allow us to do this. That was the thing. Because the guys had always wanted, because the higher you raise the stakes, the more exciting and nervous and like every little thing just, it just, it's that's their drug is the excitement of like how crazy it can get. And having like the authority that like a dental hygienist has is higher than if you're just like on the street.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the stakes are raised to such a level that they were so excited to get this. We can't believe that we have.
Yeah. And it's a medical setting too. And so it's the other thing that isn't in the episodes is when the guys do anything medical, like we've done, like they were like physical therapists and stuff. The guys like immediately take control as soon as the mark walks in the room and will like kind of make sure that they don't start talking about their sicknesses because it's like, we have a bunch of hidden cameras in this room. So you don't want someone coming in there and just being like, yeah, you know, oh my God, like, I think I'm dying, by the way. It's like, I have this thing and like, anything personal, it's like they don't want on the show because they know they're going to have to try to get them to sign a release at the end of it.
Dentist is great. I even love Murr's turn of him like just like twirling around.
Cute. Spinning in a chair is so good.
Yeah, spinning in a chair is great. Her reaction's great because that's the thing. Like aside from people like, you know, going upside down or getting mad, like it's the bemusement that's also fun of people like having a good time. Because especially he doesn't do it like he's trying to make her laugh. You know, he's not smiling. Oh, he's doing it as serious as possible, which really helps it be funny that she is laughing. She's like
flying around the room.
That whole dentist turn, because I just started working on the show at the end of season two, so this was like out because it was like the season two premiere. This is what I would send to people when they're like, oh, what's the show you work on? I'm like, this is it.
Yeah,
it's perfect. The dentist bit is just perfect.
Oh yeah, I like the subtlety of like seeing someone's face when the person's going to be using sharp instruments in your mouth. It's just like suctioning his face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like just staring awkwardly.
Yeah,
they're good at that. They're good at making a lot of eye contact in very awkward situations. So even pulling it off would be less funny if they were just kind of like everything was under the breath and down. Like they're very direct with us. That's where a lot of the humor comes in, just that they're direct, matter of fact nature of saying stuff.
We also like early on it wasn't this way, and then like I think the guys started to influence. And Joe talked about this a little bit about what the edit shows. And there was a conversation in the past about like ChapStick where they were like they kept it in the cut, and then they also started doing things where they would keep in reactions a little longer. So like you could see like when Q says that thing about crabs in Atlantic City. Yeah. And that guy has that real reaction where he laughs for like almost too long, like as if he gets it, but then he gets it even more and he like loves it even more. So he laughs for a while and the guys laugh at him laughing at it. Like a moment like that is also a joke that works in the show, which is fun that they figured out like, oh, we're allowed to keep stuff like this in. You know,
Was it from the beginning of the show? I believe it was all they always showed the guys like cracking up in the back.
Yeah, they always showed them laughing, but then we would try to put in more times where they're just having a conversation that's about like food they're eating or like Murr borrowing Sal's ChapStick, like moments like that that are just like them being friends, having a conversation about the way they look, what they're dressed like, you know, what's going on in the environment, you know, stuff that's like off from the gameplay. Putting more and more of that in.
It really shows like the friendships of just people laughing at this ridiculous situation. That's what I love about the behind the scenes like shots always. It's just those guys fall, you know, Sal falling down, laughing. The first time I made Sal laugh from a story and he in the street, like, you know, look like he had to grab onto things to not fall down on the ground. You're like, I did it. I made him do the laugh.
Yeah.
It's so infectious. You're right. Like getting Sal to that point is something that Gatto always talks like he had done that before and he never realized that it would be part of a television show. It's so funny. Sal's the guy you want to share those stories with. Like I did a thing recently where I wrong texted somebody, you know, like that happens and it's a bad one, but I had to,
it's really good.
I immediately had to call him just to explain what had happened. Cause I knew that he would,
you gotta,
you have to, mean, obviously you can't leave us like this.
It's complicated, but I basically, John Zaluga, who's a producer on the show, his sister has been helping me get a dog. It helped me get a dog. I have a dog now. And I was texting back and forth between them and also like my friends. And we were talking about dog names and the dog's name is Granny. But at one point I was like, it might be Grandma. And then I wrote something like, and I had asked the age of the dog. This was right before I got it. And then I told my friends and I was going back and forth and it was like 8 weeks old. And so what I wrote to my friends was, young, dumb, and full of cum, grandma. And I said that to John's sister, who I've never met before. And so I just...
No context.
Yeah, she runs the adoption agency.
Except for she had written 8 weeks because I had asked her that question. And then I sent that. And I...
Oh,
and
my God, that's so great coming after 8 weeks.
I mean, yeah, that's like why I needed to know that number, because I had been in that other conversation. So I call Sal up to tell him this, and it's the same thing where he's just like, you have to stop. I have to stop. And he asks the funniest questions. Like, Sal's like asking the questions to make the details even funnier is like a thing that he does so well.
I love it.
Yeah.
So the movie theater, we talked a little bit about it before, but the concession booth at the movie theater, I'm going to tell a quick story about this. So this day, obviously, there was like a lot of fun. There was like popcorn being thrown at people, and then like the look back at stuff. It was a really funny day. There's the Sal Sleep sign. This day, back then, you know, I have explained before, like everyone did everything. So I was like getting releases and certain days. And so we would position people to based on where they would go to when to get the release. And I was in such a position that none of the people were coming to my area. And I was right next to a movie theater, like one of the theater, mm-hmm. And I had a walkie talkie on. And so when someone's coming towards me, they're like, they just tell me when to go. So I'm like, all right, well, they'll let me know. So I'm just going to watch this movie. So I went in and sat, and I ended up that day watching 2.5 movies, and I didn't sign one release that whole day. But I missed like all of the fun, like all of the stuff that the guys did that was funny. I had to find out about afterward. I was like not even on set that day. I think I watched like Ted 2. this is the time period of it. Maybe it was Ted. I don't even know. Maybe it was Ted 1. But I just watched a ton of movies that day. And so that's my when I watched this bit, that's all I could think about is that the least productive.
Twilight, Breaking Dawn, Ted.
Yeah, I just watched it.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy's like, Casey, we have to promote you because you're too bad at being a PA. You got to be a producer.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Failed my way to the top. Yeah. This is a really good one too, because it had been tough for us to get like a movie theater to allow us to do this. Cause like, you know, handling food is kind of a tough thing to do, but I think concession stands don't count as handling food.
This was at the Alpine and Bay Ridge.
Yeah, Bay Ridge. Yeah. Actually, if it's right across from the donut shop, that's also a similar season. It was like right in that same exact area as like the donut shop where the guy comes in with the vest, with the leather jacket.
Yeah. Did you pick a concession stand that has like concessions that aren't too, you know, you see in movie theaters now, like, you know, if it gets pretty much beyond nachos, candy, and popcorn, it could really take the bits like longer.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, let me get pretzel bites, yeah. The artisan pizza.
Seared tuna fries. On a salad. Yeah, it was definitely a Bay Ridge old school. It's like popcorn. Yeah. The hardest thing to do is nachos, I bet.
Yeah. I want the non-dusty milk duds. That's the top shelf.
The non-dusties.
Yeah, give me some of those. Joke out of doing the 3D popcorn in this bit kills me. I know that's
balls.
Not gonna him. That's another like I can't believe he did it. It helps that probably that it was like to a little kid. Yeah. I think if it was to a lady, you wouldn't see Joe Gatto do it. But yeah, that 3D popcorn was amazing. Just chucking it in the kid's face.
And you notice that kid didn't pay? That kid just bounced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just took his food and was just like, all right, well, fine. And he just like left. And he didn't
sat next to you and watched Ted 2.
We just watched Ted 2.
The popcorn was butter. You shared the popcorn with him?
Yeah. I just picked it out of his shirt.
Doing anything physical to somebody like that is, again, like so worrisome. You got to pick your marks, obviously. Yeah. But I know the episode, I'm so surprised always that it's in there. I don't remember the exact episode, but it was a thing in a store where Murr was like over this like giant dude's like shoulder the whole time. And then the guy started coming after him, like chasing him. Right?
Yeah.
And from knowing like, you know, all you guys, I remember like hearing like the behind the scenes that like that guy was like very difficult to calm down, even beyond saying it's a comedy TV show. It's a prank. It's a joke. We're sorry. You know, it's like, the guy was not, his face is still blurred out. It's blurred out on the show, I believe.
Blurred forever. That guy is never going to sign. He's never going to be a fan of the show. Maybe we'll win him over. I still send him emails about like what we've got going on.
I remember watching the rough cut of that and being like afraid. Like, we had to cut that down a lot. It was pretty crazy in the beginning, I feel like. Yeah. And we also, I think you guys, your editor, changed his voice a little bit.
So that's Ticket Takers. Any other thoughts on that? They call it out a little bit when they did the Sal Sleeps poster. They call it out where Sal was like, that's from last week.
When was that taken?
We were driving.
You fell asleep.
Last week?
Last week, yeah. We don't need much time.
And it definitely, I remember this is early for our production and getting it printed out and put into a frame that the exact size of the other ones was like tough for us. It still would be with a week's notice, but it was like a couple days before. And I remember our PAs or our art department, which was pretty minimal at the time, having to hurry that up and make sure it's good. And the size wasn't right. They had to add noise or whatever. You know, we had a whole all hands on deck to make that, but it was worth it.
That poster is fantastic. And I know me and Sal also share similar insecurities. So it's whenever you guys put up a ridiculous picture, I mean, there's the other one that's used a lot.
Yeah, right.
Not the sleeping, but the one where he's just it couldn't be a worse picture of him.
Yeah.
And then when they use, he's kind of looking back.
Oh yeah.
And then that one's used a lot. It's so funny to see the face, just the head drop Christ.
I thought, I haven't seen this in a while. I thought that was going to be the picture, that old one.
That's
of Sal,
what I thought.
The brick wall background. Yeah.
Also in the movie concessions thing, that's such a reoccurring thing on the show that I enjoy when it goes the other direction, besides somebody getting progressively angrier, somebody coming in a douchebaggy kind of personality of the guy who doesn't like Q for the walking impression. Yep. We're late for the movie, dude. You don't get any and by the time it's over, he's giggling and kind of even gives a, all right, man, I get it.
Yeah. All right, on to blah, blah, blogs. I actually texted Gatto that we could do this when we start back up, because I believe that there's some social distancing that happens with this bit. You know, even if they have a mask on, you could say excuse me, I'm taking a photo for my blog and this is the reason why, and they just there's, you could have the distance there. It's built into taking a photograph.
They've done this bit a couple times now, the blog pictures, and again, it's so much also because I like that it seems I know there's stuff prepared a lot of times, but this seems very an improv game of on the spot. It seems to be judged by the person they're talking to.
A lot of times bits like this we try to do 50-50. It's actually, it ends up in the cut or on the day being more improvised, but it depends. James and I and the other guy and the jokers themselves will come up with ideas for themselves. And so we'll divvy up, who gets which ideas, just to kind of get them thinking of what kind of what blog names should sound whether it be
right.
But then, something
virgins
happens.
Virgins for sure. That's what they
Yeah, virgins
sound
for sure
like.
Is probably one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to say to anybody. Yeah. And so
I feel like especially the guy that you picked.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the blog about?
It's called Virgins for Sure.
It's you might have heard of it.
It's called Virgins for Sure.
And that's the thing. The guys will know who to unleash it on. But things like Fashion of the Christ, that's 100%. Like in the moment you see that guy coming up, and you're whoever it was, Gatto coming up with a pun on the spot, or they fed it to Gatto.
All right. That's great. This was a heavy episode. There's a lot lot here. Cause we're not even out of punishment yet. We're three bits down. We have Penny for Your Thoughts next. And this is a Joker versus Joker challenge. I believe this idea was a Joe Gatto idea. Cause I remember him being when Joe's in the mood to come up with ideas, he's let's all go outside. And all the, producers and the jokers, we go for a walk. We usually get coffee and a sweet treat for Joe. And then we'll go sit in the park. And I remember Joe just sitting there and going, Penny for Your Thoughts. Write that down. Penny for Your Thoughts. And then now it's this bit.
That's great. It's a great
It is. And I just want to, before we were talking about how we can't believe they say some things to people, when Q said touch it to those two girls,
I know,
after talking about
can you smell,
can you smell
see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you see it? Can you touch it?
It's even funny. It's can you see it? You're oh, what does this mean? Is it a boner? And then it's can you smell it? Okay, right. maybe it's a poop. And then you're can you touch it? You're what is this thing?
Well, he also said,
they're just words, Your Honor.
Do you notice it when you look at me? Was one of his lines before you touch it.
So. That's right. Do you notice it when you look at me? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Solid.
Great stuff.
Yeah, they just walk away.
It's a great game. Oh, I'd love to replay it again.
Sal has this one where he can't get the line out, right?
He can't say it.
That's so,
and what's the bleep?
Oh, I was going to ask that. I have no idea what he's saying.
I think I know.
I know. It's Tite's.
Oh, it's Tite's? Yes.
So it?
Yeah, I know. I was watching it being like, why did they bleep that?
But that is interesting because, like I said, what's the, and Tina, you probably know this better. Like, is it, what's the timeline on, like, remember South Park? That was the big deal. Like, they took their own money and paid the fine for X amount of time. They could say the word shit. And it's so funny that now that's not, you could say that, I guess not on, not on like major, you know, like a NBC, CBS network, but on cable, I think across the board now, right? Yeah. All the cartoons.
Well,
have
the
it.
Different networks have different standards. So, but we, for Turner, for Warner Media, you can say certain words up to three times now an episode. It used to be six, and now it's
we get them all in, baby.
Yeah, but there are certain words like that you can't say at all.
So. Yeah, I get that too. But I've noticed it on a surprise. I'm a big Jersey Shore guy, and they've loosened all those standards for that too.
I think actually,
you can see full penetration.
Your boys over there at Comedy Central, they. I think the Amy Schumer show fought for the C word to be able to be said on comedy.
Really?
Yeah, because they were like, you can say dick, why can't you say this? And I think they won out.
Great.
So you can say the C word over there and on Jokers in England, if we ever say
When I was at Comedy Central, we did this thing that I loved. It was, I think it was at midnight or 1 a.m. We would show episodes completely uncensored. Like, and we were just like, well, we'll see what, like, our S&P department, like, was just like, yeah, we'll just see what happens if anyone notices. So we'd play movies or episodes of stuff, just like nothing bleeped, nothing blurred.
It was, Comedy Central?
Yeah. We did it for about
my hour special at the premiere at midnight.
Yeah.
That's when all the eyeballs are on it, right? That's midnight. That's when you want a premiere.
I think Dave Attell, kind of cracked that mold with Attell's Underground show was the first thing where they were like, it's going to air at midnight and it will be completely uncensored.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's cool.
And speaking of being able to say this punishment, we dive right into the we got that elephant poop all over the place.
Jesus. You know, it's so we talk about sometimes like really outlandish punishments where there's like a bunch of things that are happening. There's one thing happening in this and it works. It's like Sal has to touch. He doesn't want to touch. And then there's like the switcheroo.
And to talk about it from the year before, like the season one premiere is him picking up dog poop with a plastic glove on. And we learned that the plastic glove was on because at the time they thought it might be too disgusting to air without the plastic glove. What we learned in the past year is that
the network
it's fine. So go ahead. No gloves right into
gloves
that
are off.
Dung. Gloves are off, baby. Season two.
Yeah. He really, I mean,
but the grossest part of this is that he touched Joe's face.
I know. Ew, Joe's face is so gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. That nose, those beautiful blue eyes.
Joe handling it the way he does is just like, it's iconic that he's like, no big deal. You put poop on my face. Mm-hmm. You know, like that adds to making Sal look like such a wuss. He's like, you can't even touch it with your hand or be near it. And you could like, I could handle it on my face. It's great.
He hasn't washed his face.
Joe's look at camera.
Joe's got to be, and I don't mean on the show, he's such a benefit, but like in the writer's room, I assume it's like he's such a liability in the writer's room. You're like, how do you get this guy? Hmm. Like, I feel the same with Mer. Like, Mer will do any physical challenge, it seems like. He'll physically do like the thing that's like craziest. I mean, the movie was just unbelievable what he did at the end there.
Yeah.
With no spoilers. But like, but Joe like will say, like anything, he's knows how to just stay like stoic and just like grind his way through anything. And Sal, having to do like the gross shit is always the best. And particularly, I mean, just one of the grabs, as he's getting to the bottom, and he just has like the kind of F it all, let's just go for it thing. There's just particularly one he picks up that's like two balls together, and he cracks it up like a coconut to like look inside to see if his keys were inside the thing. Like, oh. And that's just so funny when you're just like, it's just too far gone. He's like, let's just do everything now. Let's just dig it out.
Yeah, so right. I was watching that too. And when it breaks apart, it is a funny moment. It's just, there's something about it that makes it so much worse that it's like it unlocked. It's like the Pandora's box of smells opens up.
Oh, but it's also... But it's also like, you know, and you can't find, like, for instance, say keys in your house or something, then you start looking in like the craziest, yeah. But you know, it's like, well, why would it be on top of the fan blade of the ceiling fan? But I guess I'm going to check because I don't know anywhere else. It was almost unnecessary. It was so unnecessary to do that. Like, just keep pulling.
And it's just like the background of having an elephant right there adds so much. You know what I mean? Like, it could.
That's a great reveal.
Yeah. It could. Oh, yeah, yeah. In the intro.
Elephant right there.
I mean,
yeah.
It could be just that there's elephant, but to have that elephant stomping around right next to you is very cute and fun.
It also adds another element of smell.
Big time.
Well, that's that episode. And Jay, thank you so much for breaking it down with us.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. I love the show, man. Anytime. I'm such a fan. So yeah, it's thank you guys.
Of course. And you've been on the show, and you know, you're one of Sal's like favorite people in the world, and it's awesome. What do you got going on that you want to promote?
We got the Bonfire is Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95. Legion of Skanks, if you're not pain of heart, you could check out Legion of Skanks. Is on gasdigitalnetwork.com. We also have, talking about a company piece, me, Ari Shafir, and Dan Soder also do a side show called Sixth and Jump, where we're breaking down through quarantine every episode of 21 Jump Street, the originals.
Okay. Where can you listen to that? Because I love 21 Jump Street.
It's just available on YouTube, iTunes, fantastic, and stuff like that. Sixth and Jump. And it is, man, that
there's
show.
There's nothing like, what was his name? Peter DeLuise. I used to love him. I don't know why.
He got sexy. He got sexy eventually. But
him in the uniform.
It's a show. It is horrific police work across the board in every possible way. And it is so fun. It's the longest show I do with only one subject. Like, it's amazing how like long the episodes get, because we're just in utter disbelief at how bad it is. And you can check out my Netflix special on Degenerates Season 1. And that's really it.
Great. Well, Big Jay Oakerson, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.